The text today is going to be from Ephesians chapter 4, and I'll be reading from verses 11 to 13. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. The responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. I'm reading from the NLT version. So today I want us to do a deep dive into the fivefold ministry. The fivefold ministry is a framework in the Bible that describes five roles that Christians are called to fill. I did a bit of research, so I'm going to be reading from some of the things I've written down. So I'm not preaching today, okay? So I'm teaching, and I'm giving some insights. So I want us to just relax, listen, and let God expose you to that which he wants you, or what you ought to be. Now, for every one of us here, we ought to be operating in at least one of those offices. It doesn't have to be in a corporate setting. It can be in your house. It can be in the office. It can be amongst friends. But at least one of those offices. And we're going to look at each office, responsibilities, and some people in the Bible that have occupied these offices. So we're going to be doing a lot of learning. So please be attentive. So we start with the apostles. Now, the apostles are sent ones, or spearheads, who have a foundational role in the church. They're often seen as pioneers, visionaries, and leaders who establish new churches or ministries. Now, they're often referred to as wise master builders or spiritual architects. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3, from verse 10 to 11, says, because of God's grace, again, I'm reading from NLT, because of God's grace, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it. But whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful. For no one can lay any foundation other than that one we already have, and that's Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is our apostle. Jesus Christ is our prophet. Jesus Christ is our evangelist. He's our pastor and he's our teacher. Jesus Christ is the only one that can operate in those five ministries and more. But for each and every one of you, we should operate in at least one. So, apostles, like I said, their responsibility is to plant churches and oversee their development. They provide governance, direction, and authority in the church, ensuring alignment with biblical doctrine. So they help to set the vision for a broader church community, often charting new territories for ministry and missions. And they invest in other leaders, in pastors, raising up pastors, teachers, and evangelists to continue with the work. Examples of apostles in the Bible, starting with who? The very well-known, Paul. Paul. So Paul is the most well-known apostle outside the 12. He originally was a persecutor of Christians until he met Jesus on the way to Damascus. You can read that in Acts chapter 9, you know. And after that conversion, he became a major leader and a missionary. He wrote many letters, many epistles, and is often considered the apostle to the Gentiles, you know, because of his extensive missionary work in the Roman era. And although he was not one of the 12, But he defended his role as an apostle in his letters, you know, emphasizing his calling, that it was direct from Christ. Another person in the Bible that, occupied the office of an apostle was Barnabas. Barnabas was a close companion of Paul and played a major role in supporting and spreading the gospel. He helped Paul in his early ministry, and, you know, which is something I didn't even realize. He was instrumental. Barnabas was instrumental in introducing Paul to the 12 apostles. Interesting. In Acts 9, verse 27. And when I saw that, wow, interesting. So, at the same time when the apostles were doing their work, Paul was raised to do his own work. That's why all over the world you hear one man of God, you know, who's doing some powerful things in maybe Asia, in Nigeria, in United States, United Kingdom, in Russia, you know, like that. So it's not one person at one time. They're different people at one time. So interesting. So Barnabas introduced Paul to the apostles, and he played a key role in spreading Christianity in Antioch. He was recognized for his authority in the early church and his missionary work alongside Paul. Timothy, a close disciple of Paul, in fact, he's Paul's protege, you know, he was a trusted leader sent on many missions, many important missions on Paul's behalf. And he was tasked with the responsibility of overseeing the church in Ephesus and handling sensitive issues within the church, early Christian community. His close association with Paul and his role as a leader in the church suggested that he functioned in an apostolic capacity, you know, and that's why he's rated amongst the apostles. Another person in the Bible was Silas. Silas was a companion of Paul on Paul's second missionary journey, and considered an apostle because of his important missionary work alongside Paul. You know, he helped to establish churches in Corinth and Thessalonica. And he was obviously seen as an apostle because of his close association with Paul and his prominence in the early church. If you remember Acts 16, verse 25, you know, they were arrested, Paul and Silas, they were arrested and were in jail, and they prayed and they praised. And whilst they prayed and they praised, there was an earthquake, and the foundations of the prison were open, and of course all the chains were loosed. You know, so you can see one of the things, partnership of Paul and Silas. So, the prophets receive revelation from God and convey this or His will to the people. They often offer correction, encouragement, and direction to the church through spiritual insight. Prophets, they speak God's message to the church and individuals, providing direction with warning and encouragement. Now, they confirm and clarify decisions or directions already given by God. Prophets might sense shifts in God's direction for the church, or recognize areas where the church needs to repent or adjust its focus. Sometimes during a service or worship service, a prophet receives a word of knowledge, you know, a prophecy that brings encouragement to or direction to church leadership, you know, during critical decision-making periods. And examples in the Bible of prophets that are people that have operated as, in the office of a prophet, Isaiah. Isaiah was a prophet during the reigns of the kings Hezekiah, Uzziah, and his prophecies focused on God's judgment and salvation. And he was known for foretelling the coming of the Messiah. So Isaiah's key message was repentance and faithfulness to God and the promise of the Messiah. Jeremiah was another prophet, and he prophesied during the final days of Judah before its fall to Babylon. And his ministry was filled with warnings about the impending judgment due to the Israel's unfaithfulness. And his key message was judgment for sin, hope for restoration after exile, and the promise of a new covenant. Daniel was another prophet and statesman back in the Babylonian era. He was known for his faithfulness, even in captivity, you know, and his prophetic visions of future kingdoms and the end times. So Daniel's key message back then is God's sovereignty, his prophecies about the rise and fall of empires, and the visions of the end times. Other prophets worthy of mention: Samuel, the last judge of Israel, who was a prophet that anointed Saul and David. Elijah, a powerful prophet, who known for his miracles and standing up to the prophets of Baal. And of course, Elisha, who succeeded Elijah, known for many, many miracles as well. Evangelists, we've spoken about apostles, spoken about prophets, and evangelists. So evangelists are specifically gifted to share the gospel and lead people to faith in Jesus Christ. So their primary focus is outreach and spreading the good news. So you notice that the prophets, they're the ones that, the apostles are the ones that break ground. The prophets are the ones that proclaim. And the apostles are the ones, the evangelists are the ones that come with the good news. So their primary focus is outreach and spreading the good news. So they are passionate about sharing the gospel with those outside the faith. And what they do is equip the church to reach out to non-believers and are instrumental in leading people to Christ. So in addition to that, they equip and train others within the church to share the faith and reach out to the lost. So evangelists also help to integrate new believers into the church community and guide them through the initial stages of discipleship. They inspire and encourage believers to remain faithful to their calling and share their gospel in everyday lives. One of the important things evangelists do is to train the church members in personal evangelism techniques. I think when Paul was here, Paul Turner, I can't remember the name again, but we went through that class, a course in terms of evangelism. Yes, I can't remember the name again. I can't remember the name. So the idea was after that, that we're going to go out try to reach out. But anyway, right. So examples of evangelists. Remember, I said that we should be able to at least to have or occupy at least one office. So, Paul, again. Paul was one of the greatest evangelists in Christian history. After his conversion, he dedicated his life to spreading the gospel, especially to non-Jews, the Gentiles. He embarked on several journeys, preaching the gospel in places like Philippi, Ephesus, Corinth, Rome, reaching out to both the Jews and the Gentiles and planting churches and writing letters. And his letters or epistles have formed obviously a significant portion of the New Testament, but his writings continues to shape Christian thought even up till now. When you read those letters, we get new insight, new perspective into what God is saying. So that's Paul. Peter, originally, obviously, as one of the original 12 apostles, you know, he was a very prominent leader in the early church. And though known primarily as an apostle, Peter played a major role in evangelism, especially in the early days of Christianity. Remember in Matthew 16, 18, when God said that, you know, that he named him Peter, and upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So Peter's work, you know, is his, he, part of his evangelistic work, he, on the day of Pentecost, he delivered a very powerful sermon for which over 3,000 people got saved. And he as Paul, evangelized to the Jews and the Gentiles, and what Paul evangelized to a Roman centurion called Cornelius. Cornelius and his family, they were one of the first set of Gentiles to be converted to Christianity as a result of Peter's efforts, you know. So his efforts helped to lay the foundation for the early Christian church. We'll fail not to mention John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus Christ, and his ministry was one of preparing people for the coming of the Messiah. He was considered an evangelist because he proclaimed the message of repentance and the coming of the kingdom of God. So John preached repentance and baptized many people, preparing them to receive Jesus Christ. And he was one that pointed people to Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. John's ministry was very crucial in preparing the hearts of people to receive Jesus, and for Jesus' ministry, making him one of the first evangelists to preach about the coming of the Messiah. Then we have the pastors. Pastors are shepherds. They're shepherds who care for the spiritual needs of the church by providing leadership, guidance, and pastoral care. Pastoral care in counseling members, visiting the sick, and offering support during times of crisis or celebration, you know. So whilst pastors may teach, their primary focus is to apply the biblical truths to the daily lives of us believers and nurture our spiritual growth. So pastors, they are responsible for creating a healthy, loving, and unified environment, church environment, where we believers can grow, yes, and thrive in their faith. They're shepherds, so they have to keep the flock together. So examples of individuals, you know, that in the Bible that sort of performed pastoral roles. Moses, for example. Moses led the people out of Israel. Led the people of Israel out of Egypt, you know, and through the wilderness, guiding them in their faith and relationship with God. So his role involved teaching, mediating between God and the people, and providing spiritual care. David is interesting, you know, Pastor David. So David, before he became king, you know, who was literally a shepherd, and as king of Israel, he was often referred to as the shepherd of the people, you know, leading them with wisdom and compassion. His one of his key responsibilities as king, he led the people with a shepherd's heart, you know, guiding them in worship and dependence on God. Peter also was called by Jesus to feed and care for his sheep. That's when Jesus was talking to him in John 21, 15-17. We won't go there, but for reference sake. Paul again, through, or I mean, we know he's an apostle and an evangelist, but he acted as a pastor or to many churches, many of the churches he founded. And his letters often included instructions or on spiritual care, encouragement, and correction for church leaders, you know, and communities. Now, the last one, teachers. Teachers are responsible for explaining and clarifying the Word of God. And their primary focus is to help believers understand the truth, biblical truth, and to live according to them. There is a fine line between pastors and teachers. Because if you see that scripture, you see at where it says, back up. It says, now these are the gifts Christ gave. The apostles, comma, prophets, comma, evangelists, comma, and the pastors and teachers. So there is a fine line, but for want of expose and, you know, education, let me put it that way, it's being broken down. Okay? So for teachers, they help believers understand the Bible by explaining complex biblical doctrines and principles in a very clear and understandable way. So they ensure us believers are grounded in the correct doctrine, and so that there's a prevention of confusion and misunderstanding. And they encourage believers to study scriptures for themselves and apply it to their daily lives. Examples of teachers in the Bible, Moses again, he taught the Israelites the commandments, statutes and ordinances of God, and instructed them on how to live according to God's covenant, and often reminding them to obey God's laws. In the modern times as well, we have very great teachers. I would say Dave Rebond, a very good teacher. You know, when he expounds the word, you understand, and it's clear. You know, very clear and very concise. So there's so many. And that's why we have lovely people in the church family. One other person that, you know, is not mentioned, who was a teacher or occupied the role of a teacher in the Bible, was Ezra. He was a scribe and a priest who played a key role in teaching the Jewish people after the return of from exile in Babylon. And he was known for his dedication to studying, teaching, and applying the law. He explained the law of God to the Israelites, you know, and leading them in spiritual renewal and in reform. We find this in Nehemiah chapter 8 from verses 1 to 8 for reference. Nehemiah 8, 1 to 8. And he was one of the people that gathered the people and instructed them in the proper worship of God, emphasizing repentance and obedience. So Ezra's teachings helped restore Israel's religious practices and identity after years of exile, you know, focusing on application and understanding God's law. And last but not the least, Solomon. Solomon's role as a teacher, he was known for his great wisdom and teachings, you know, particularly in his books, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the Songs of Solomon. He taught wisdom and gave practical advice on how to live a righteous and God-fearing life. And his Proverbs addressed topics such as morality, justice, discipline, and the fear of the Lord. And you know, his teachers continue to provide moral and spiritual guidance for us and generation of believers. Now, how do all of these work together? in a healthy church setting, these five roles, they complement one another. Apostles, they are visionaries. They cast vision and they lay the foundations. The prophets, they provide spiritual insight and help steer the church in God's direction. The evangelists, they reach out and bring in new believers, new converts. Then the pastors nurture the flock and care for the individuals. And the teachers provide sound biblical grounding and spiritual education. So you see, these roles create a balanced and effective ministry structure, you know, that equips the body of Christ to grow, helps the body of Christ to mature and to fulfill its mission. Now, this is where we come in, and this is where I close. Acts 19, from verses 11 to 15. God gave Paul the power to perform unusual miracles. When handkerchiefs and aprons that had merely touched his skin were placed on sick people, they were healed of their diseases, and evil spirits were expelled. A group of Jews was traveling from town to town, casting out evil spirits. They tried to use the name of the Lord Jesus in their incantation, saying, "I command you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, to come out." Seven sons of Sceva, a leading priest, were doing this. But one time they tried it. The evil spirit replied, "I know Jesus, I know Paul, but who are you?" And that's my question to you. Who are you? Who are you in the scheme of the things of God? Who are you? Again, I ask, who are you? For Paul to perform such unusual miracles, he knew who he was. He was operating in some office. What office are you operating in? And that's where I'm going to stop.